Hello, welcome to another episode of the solo series with Siyabonga Bile. I'm extremely humbled and rooted by the feedback I received from the first two episodes, The Healer's Journey. If you haven't heard it, you can listen to it right now on Spotify, as well as Apple. Today, I am talking about a topic that is very, very close to my heart. A topic that is very sacred because it's the way in which I live. It's the way in which I found purpose. It's the way in which I see the world. And that is indlela yamanzi, the way of the water. And you might be asking yourself, yintoni indlela yamanzi? So indlela yamanzi is to live as a water healer. And in my instance, live as a water healer who is umprofeti. And recently I've seen, obviously, with the spiritual awakening that is currently taking place, that there's a lot of social media around, or content around ubungoma and all these things. But I find that there's not a lot of information about, you know, abaprofeti, abaprofita, and what it is that we do, how do we end up where we are, and, you know, what the journey is about, and how does one know ukuthi they are meant to be part of indlela, or are called to indlela yobuprofeti. So let's start first with my calling. I come from a generation of healers in general, like Eastern Cape ekhaya singabantu besixhosa nyani, royalty even. So kwicala lika mamam ndikhule kukho amagqirha, kukho iintlombe, kukho imicimbi, kukho izinto nyani zesixhosa, you understand? Even though umakhulu wam nomamam never really accepted i-gifts zabo, I was always aware that they are ancestors, and that Tina Ekaya, we have a very high spiritual vibration and ancestral awareness. But at the same time, I also grew up in a household that really valued church. Like, umoya wasekhaya uyithandile inkonzo. And a lot of the healers in my family, like, for example, ukhokho wam waba ligqirha and then switched over to church, uyisile. You understand? And throughout my life as a kid, he was someone who could always see. Noba kwenzeka ntoni ibe ngumuntu obonayo. So, and growing up, ke ndandikhule ndingumntana wabantu abadala, in the sense that zange ndandingadlali nabantwana ba i-age yam, mainly because I would feel bullied, or they would make fun of me, I'm too sensitive, I'm too this, I'm too that. But I found ukuthi mangihleli nabantu abadala lakho khokho bami, umakhulu wami, I felt better because I would ask questions about our history, about all these different things that I was curious about. And my curiosities, when I look back at them now, they literally are a sign of the fact that this kid was called. Another incident I can tell you about in my journey is, not incident, but a memory, was my grand telling me how as a kid I always wanted the animals to sleep in the house because I was afraid they'd be too cold. So that is another sign of how the spirit was already connected to something bigger than itself at a very young age. Within that, I remember then growing up and going through a lot of death. You know, I lost literally my mom lost all her siblings, and the only sibling that's left is her and her sister, is her brother and her sister. So ukhula kwam were burying people. It was a very, very painful period because I was so close with my family. My parents' marriage didn't work out, so my mom ended up having to raise these three boys by herself. While all these things are happening, my spirit is going through the most because I didn't treat these, firstly, being a firstborn son, and then being umntana obizweyo, you carry the burdens on your back. So I started carrying these burdens as a kid. you know, thinking far down the line, having this level of consciousness that many around me didn't seem to have, and not even my parents could recognize that in me, or how things were affecting me that deeply. It wasn't just, oh, this is a bad incident, but I put it on myself to fix it. I don't know why I put it on myself to fix it. Then also throughout high school and primary school, I never had friends really. I had friends in high school whom I thought were going to be my best friends forever from grade 10. But as life has happened, it turns out those were never my people. So I've never had a best friend from age 10 or whatever. I don't have that. I've always been this nomad where I'd make different types of friends in different places. Some friendships would last, some wouldn't. I mean, even now, years later, all my friendships from high school just didn't last. And also in school, I just felt like I vibrated on a different level. I mean, I was multi-talented academically, sports-wise, music-wise, culture-wise, service-wise. Like, I was also very much an all-rounder. And I was just always driven. And I could feel that there's this extra power that's driving me towards my goals. Then, obviously, then after high school, I built the Threaded Man. And even then, I just felt a force of power moving me in that direction. Through every single incident, through every single situation in my life, I always find that there's a force driving me. There's a level of determination. There's a level of spiritual energy that I'm able to tap into, that I knew that other people can't tap into that. So when I lost my business, and through losing my business, I was told ukuthi I have a calling. I automatically thought that meant ngizaba isangoma, because that's what I grew up with. That's what I know. The healers in my family had gone to church before, but they were not prophets. You understand? And so I remember going to St. John's in Harare, and to basically to do what is called ukhlahluba. So you might be asking yourself, what is ukhlahluba? So ukhlahluba is similar to igqirha throwing bones, or isangoma, or ogogo throwing bones. But because we work with the Holy Spirit at church, we don't need to throw bones. We use the Holy Bible as the connector to the truth, or as the connector, or as the activator of vision. But beyond using the Bible to ukhlahluba, ecaweni usisebenza ngomoya, maomoya ukhuphukile, you can see things. You don't need to throw bones. You don't need to. You can see, you know. So ngaze ngayohlahluba at St. John's, and then they were telling me ukuthi unobizo. And I remember, for me, it was such a surreal moment, because I'd suspected I did, but my journey was never like, you know how some people have. Not that my journey is not beautiful, but they have the most fascinating journeys. Like, they were five and their ancestor came to them, or ABC, and they just know immediately they have a gift because it's confirmed in their dreams. Where for me, by the time I went to church, I wasn't dreaming. I've never really been like a big dreamer. I've always been someone who just knows things. Like I'm that kind of person. Like, I work with love in my heart, and then the love, like, I don't know, the spirit just tells me. Like, it's weird. It's like a USB gets dropped into my brain and then information is downloaded. Like, I can't explain it. But I do dream prophetic dreams when I need to. So anyways, surreal moment. Something I already suspected being confirmed. And then now I'm like, okay, does this mean your twasa? What is going on? And then they told me, obviously, that there are things that are happening within my family. Ukhlaba gets to slaughter just for my ancestors and us with their support, especially on my dad's side of the family, because I grew up a lot on my mom's side. So those ancestors were good. Yeah, well, but now there's a divide between them and my dad's family. And that is because I had a lot of remorse against my dad's family because of what they did to my mom and just not being there for us. Another full circle moment was seeing Utata, who is basically in charge of me at church. At the time, obviously, he wasn't. We were still consulting. So Tata is like, yo, you must remember ukuthi ngumntana wesicelo. You were born here. And that is something that I didn't realize up until I started walking this journey. Ukuthi, when umama wanted to conceive me, she went to St. John's to basically ask ukuthi, I want to have a baby, and prayed and all those things that they do at church. So Utata was like, you are always going to come back to this place because you're not any ordinary child. Like, your parents asked God for you and then God created and delivered you, but you're not actually a human being. Like, you are a spiritual being. You're a spiritual water being who has incredible healing gifts and a water family. And that's why you must go do this ritual and then you must come back to church. Yo, so ke mna ke vele angimameli. In my mind, I'm like, hey, ngizoba liqhiga, ngizoba namahlozi, because that's what I know. That's what I'm most comfortable with. I had never really attended St. John's. I didn't know any information about the church. Even though through the years we had gone to the church to get indambo and things like that, it never really clicked. It never arrived in my consciousness like it did now, like it did now when I actually entered the church. I guess so. Straight after we consult, they also cut off my dreadlocks because I was wearing shells. And because I was like going through depression for 5 years and not finding a job, I was also just going crazy, having visions. And some of these visions were true, some were not true. There were evil spirits. There was just a lot happening. So I was then sent to the Eastern Cape for like 3-4 months to cleanse, to learn how to palaza. And I'd never done those things before, nokspeda and stuff like that. So I started doing those things to basically ususa all these spiritual things that people had done to me, like imigqwaliso, all these things. So I went to the Eastern Cape and I did that. I came back 3 months later. And when I came back 3 months later, I did my ritual. Not ritual, but ukhela, just a ceremony, like a Thanksgiving at my dad's family's home. And even then, like, amagqirha started coming uninvited, saying, yeah, this child has a gift. He's crazy gifted. And I'm thinking, why am I not seeing this gift? I think that was the first frustration, like, everybody telling you how gifted you are, but you don't really see anything prophetic happening, even though it is happening, and you suspect the here and there, you know, like your instincts. Then you're also bumping into people in taxis. Bakutshela ukuthi gogo ziphi intambo zakho, makhosi, you know. So that also started happening. So at this point, now that I'm doing the ritual, I'm like, I'm ready to see where I need to go to Asa. I'm ready to see my gobela and go do this, you know, because I can feel that this is what is going to heal me, because currently I feel like I'm blocked in life and my chakra, everything is blocked because I'm not living my purpose or what I was created for. So there was a strong drive to get this done. But so I do my ritual. The Sangoma's like, yeah, see, this week things are gonna change for you. So what ends up happening is I end up having these weird dreams about, you know, being in the ocean, dancing in Ntlombeni and things like that. Then a coincidental thing happened, like I'm chilling during the day and umoya wam is like, I must reach out to this other gogo. And this gogo is someone that who's young, who I'd seen before. So I almost have like, I wouldn't say I had a vision or I saw him in a dream. I didn't. It was like an instinct to message him, because I think at that point I was very desperate to find answers or to get help or to broaden my knowledge. Because at this point, and now I'm also fighting with my parents, because they don't understand. They don't want their child to be a Sangoma. They are confused. They are scared. So I'm isolated, basically. I'm getting sick. I'm having, you know, episodes of depression. And just, like it's so crazy. It was just, it's one big blur. That's how messed up I was. So I reach out to Lokogo. Ugogo reads my bones. He reads his bones. He tells me, we need to cleanse you by the ocean. Odamkulu wakho uthwetyulwe. And basically, he's being used as a spiritual spy. I was like, yo, what? He's like, yeah, that's why nothing of yours works out, because each time you speak life into yourself, they kind of pulling on that energy. And there's a lot of things that are unsavory in my dad's side of the family. Sorry guys to be vulnerable. I know I'm being like extremely honest right now, but I think people deserve to know these things, right? To learn and to heal and to grow. So anyways, I grow close with this Gogo because I trust him. I think he's amazing. He's young. He's teaching me about Amadlozi ancestors. You know, he also confirms Uguti, yes, and now Amadlozi. So here, so now here's the thing. At church, they confirmed I have a gift and I have a very powerful stunya. They didn't say Amadlozi. So now I get to Ugogo. They tell me Unamadlozi. Now, for at least, I think, 3 months, I'm spending a lot of time with Ugogo. My family is like, okay, Sia, if this helps you, let's see where it goes. I'm spending, like, 3 months with Ugogo. I start going to Intlombe. I start then getting even sicker, like, traveling to places like Hlokozi. And now, the Gogo I was with, these are people that Twasa isi zautinina isunguni. Yeah, well, so before we were Xhosa, before we were all these different tribes, when we were together, there was a way of Ukthwasa. So they Twasa, the like, you know, obviously according to them, the original way. So I'm going to Izintlombe. Then Ugogo's telling me that, yeah, I have Idlozi. This is the name of Idlozi Lami. And, you know, I also then start connecting to like my Durban roots, because I felt a very strong connection with Durban. I don't know why, because I'm not Zulu. Right, and I'll tell you how that ends up showing up. So I start connecting a lot with feeling like I am Xhosa, but I started feeling like, besides being Xhosa, I'm Nguni. I feel there's all these other tribes that their bloodline kind of exists inside me. So I'm getting sicker. I'm buying amahiya, you know, like without being told. I'm just buying amahiya. Gogo's like, I'll go with it, whatever. He washes me by the ocean. Then things get really bad now. Because now I'm getting to a point where I'm trying to get back to school. I'm trying to, because I didn't think, so in my mind, I'm like, I don't need to Twasa. I can just, after I've done the ritual, my ancestors should open up my life and give me direction and tell me stuff. But now they're not giving me direction. And then even more so now that I'm with Otokoza and Obokoko, I'm like exposed to even more stuff that makes me like kind of excited to do this journey. But it seems that things are getting worse and my symptoms are getting worse. Then on top of that, because I'm exposed to Intlombe, Nezangoma, I start taking a disliking to the space. And main reason why I started taking a disliking to the Sangoma space is that I didn't understand, like, a lot of Sangomas are smashing one another, like, having inappropriate relationships, you know. And what I mean by inappropriate relationship, you know, is Umuntu has a partner, but then when they go to Intlombe, they are smashing multiple people. There's no accountability. People are drinking. People are fighting. And the Zangoma are doing this within a sacred space. So then that kind of troubles me, that like, if we're here to respect ancestors, I'm not saying we shouldn't have sex or shouldn't be drinking or shouldn't be doing certain things. But within that space, I find that it was very extreme. And I'm not saying they're wrong for that, but I was just sensitive to it, having these questions. And that was also a sign for me that I am a healer, yes, but maybe that is not my arena, even if I have Amadlozi. That's not the way awami azokukhuphuka. So me and my mom end up having this, I can't remember why, but we end up having this massive fight. And that fight then leads to my mom saying, listen, please, let's go back to the church. Let's actually get final direction on your journey. Like, what must you actually do now? I go back to church. Utata is like, I told you to come back, you know, you need to accept your calling through the church. But the way, so here's the thing about Ubu Prophet, is that you can be called as a person, ne? And you find Uguti indlela yakho is very direct because of where your bloodline is, where your family is, where your ancestors are. Your family, they show themselves, they're like, Izokuthwasa, come through, you're done. But then some of us, our situations are very different. So for me, I am the oldest grandson on both sides of my family. And so spiritually, I am a very strong light for the ancestors on both sides of the family, because my mom's generation and our family never accepted the gift, except for my great-grandfather, my mom's generation and my grandmother's generation. Yeah, bro. So I became like the only person who is connected enough to be activated and to accept. So the moment I started opening up those portals, all my ancestors came, right? And I mean nations of them, like, and all of them want to live through me, because there's been such a backlog for so many generations, right? Then on top of that, on both sides of the family, there's like two old beings that live in the water who are in charge of everything. So my journey became complicated, because it's like the two most powerful ancestors I have, especially from my mom's side, wanted to self-initiate me. They didn't want me to twasa, and they have their reasons. It has to do with safety, it has to do with my bloodline, it has to do with the fact that if bengile ngayo twasa, I would die, because kunesilwane esingilindileyo type of thing. So they tell me at church, you need to baptize, you need to do A, B, C, and D, yeah, bro. But they don't tell me good things among them, prophet, or I'm going to wear a belt or anything like that. But I'm scared, because I'm like, yo, now I start thinking about St. John's. Like, is this a cult? Like, what the hell? Like, how are these people at church from 8 until 5? Like, how are these people, like, oh my God. Like, I'm freaking out. Obviously, I'm still sick at this time, so I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. My mom then has a conversation with me, and she's like, Sia, I really need you to really trust me. You know, Udadumia was here when you were born. We asked him for you to pray for us to have you. So, and he's never been someone who has brought us harm. So please surrender. And hey, I could feel it in my heart. And I think for my mom and I's relationship, it was a moment of extreme trust, you know. So I surrendered. And then the next weekend, I had to sleep there on a Saturday, because on the Sunday, we're getting baptized. So I arrive at St. John's. I'm so scared. I don't know the people there. I have so many tattoos, you know. And I find that obviously at church, like as black people in general, we're not exposed on the same level. There's only a few of us who've had the privilege of education, travel, being exposed to certain things, and that kind of shapes your life experience and it becomes broader, right? So coming into church, I realized that obviously not a lot of people have this privilege. So the perspectives are not as broad. They're not as open-minded. You know, I'm queer, I'm pansexual, and I have tattoos. I was in the creative industry. So I come to church I stand out like a sore thumb. And, you know, I meet a guy called Mseji. He's friendly. He's amazing. I start meeting all these gents and they're really, really amazing. But I still feel out of place because there's a way to operate in that space. I start learning very quickly in my sleepover that I start hearing the words, Ubu Profita, that this is a church of Abaprofita. And in the church of Abaprofita, we don't use medicines, we don't use amayeza, we work with the Holy Spirit and water, and your ancestors work as Istunya. So Istunya means angel, right? All ancestors are angels, but Istunya is a specific type of ancestor that works as an angel, because it purely works with water, it works with purification, it works with cleansing, it works with cleanliness, it works with light, it works with God, it works with angels. So that's why it has to operate that way. Yeah, bro. It can't be tied. It can't be tied down. It has to flow. So I was just like, okay, cool. But I'm not thinking this is deep. Like, Sunday comes, I get baptized. Sunday comes in the morning, we have a service at 5. And in this service, I get so emotional. Like, you don't understand. You know, as if, like, I literally surrendered in that service. I literally surrendered and my heart just broke into pieces. Like, just crying for life, crying for pain, crying about the pain, crying about the experiences, but just bawling and being like, God, I'm here. You know, I give up the fight. God, I'm here. I remember saying that to myself, that God, I'm really here. And I broke down. Yo, I broke down. I broke down. I broke down because I'm like, if this doesn't work, this is it for me. Like, I'm dying here. I'd rather die at church than die anywhere else. And it's been 5 years of not working, 5 years of living in poverty, battling with my family. They're trying their best, but they're also limited. So this was it. This was really it. After the service, we go and get baptized. Yo, I get into the water. I'm crying. As I'm crying, it's like I see a light. And in this light, I see a hand. And when I see this hand, I see that it's my family in the ocean waiting for me. And they grab my hand. And the moment they grab my hand, yay, umoya wam, it's like an explosion happened. Like, it's almost like, you know, when the Avatar, if you've ever watched Avatar, when Aang goes into the Avatar state for the first time and it just sets off alarms all around the world, that's what it felt like. It felt like in the spiritual world, I was given life. Like, they were like, our child is alive. He's back. You know, so that explosion happened where I just felt heaven open in my spirit. Then we get back to church, there's Sunday service. Yo, I get handed a blue belt and a coat. And then I start clicking in the church service that I'm actually accepting my gift by doing this. Whereas obviously, like, it's completely different. But St. John's, it's very not casual, but it's not done that way. It's done in a very subtle way. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, there's a big family meeting, there's all these elements and things to kind of call their ancestors and really, really invoke them. Where at church, on the Holy Spirit, and that's why you baptize yourself, to cleanse yourself, to accept God. And then I got given the uniform, yobu profita. So I get dressed on that day, and then my mom and my gran stand up and speak about handing me over and my life, and yo. And it's emotional, guys. It's emotional. Yo, it's emotional. Like I even crack up talking about it. Also, at this time, my partner and I... Also, there's another thing, is that I also was so vulnerable at this point because I really felt I was going to lose my partner because Naya, she never really saw the Sangoma thing in me. You know, she was like, okay, even if you have that, you know, I feel you need to work for God. So it was always an ongoing topic, and it got to a point where there were frustrations and real concerns that as much as we love each other, it might not be able to work. So there's also those fears. And when I entered church and I got dressed, everything, just those fears went away. My mom handed me over to the church. Utata spoke and was like, the head of our church, like, just to explain to St. John's, like, in Cape Town, we have a temple. Ubaba Wami is the head of that temple. But holistically, the headquarters of St. John's is in Germiston in Joburg. And there, Situma Momorach, and she is the head of our whole entire church. She is the chief prophetess, basically. Everybody listens to what she says. And basically, that's how our church works, is that our church is not just handed down. There's a prophetic word that arrives and a vision that says this is our next leader. Our next leader could be anybody in our church. That's what's scary for me about the journey. That is, not that I'm running away from having my own church and whatever. I just know that I'm born to heal people. And in healing people, I think sometimes churchgoers get caught up in positions at church. And I'm afraid of being someone who gets chosen to head up a temple or church because I feel then people at church will fight me because they'll be like, why is he getting that position? We've been here. You know, there's all these politics. And I think on my purest level, I just want to heal people and build a beautiful life with my wife and my kids and just be happy, you know. But I know that my pain and my suffering is for a great... It's for a great healing journey that I have to heal people on a mass scale. I guess so. I join a church. I'm dressed now as a prophet. In the first service, they are calling people up to come and just speak the word. Yo, I find myself standing up there and I'm speaking the word and I'm speaking the word and I'm speaking the word. And utata's like, yay, yay, lomtana, yay. And I'm speaking the word. So, isithunywa siphakamile. And that's the first time I experienced isithunywa sami siphakamile. Like, I could feel it. Then, literally, I had been trying to get school for the longest time. Literally, after getting dressed at church, the following week, I got a bursary to go to Red and Yellow and study graphic design and content and all these other things. Yo, I accept. But now, because I'd gone to the ocean, I'd asked my ancestors for what I want on numerous occasions. And I said, I really love my partner. I want to marry them. Because you get these opportunities through these rituals where you ask your ancestors what you want, you know. So even when I did that slaughtering at home, I asked. Even when I was with Ugogo by the ocean, I had asked. So even now at church, I'm asking and repeating the same things. So my ancestors now start answering. So they've given me a girlfriend. Her and I then start becoming or getting to a stable place because she resonates with me, you know, signing up with God or handing my life back to God. Then because I was struggling, I wasn't working for 5 years and felt like I had no purpose, I then get back to school. But then I also promised that I would give my whole heart and being to making sure I make them proud, do the healing work that they want, grow spiritually, forgive, really, really accept that my life is not my own. As long as they can keep my wife with me, keep me safe, keep me, you know, working, making money, I will do whatever it takes to look after my family, to look after our bloodline, to fight this battle, my family. I will do it. I was like, my life doesn't belong to fashion, doesn't belong to the industry, doesn't belong to fame, doesn't belong to my insecurities. It belongs to them. And so whatever I need to shed away, I'll shed away. So when my ancestors started giving me these blessings, I then had to give them what they needed, which was for me to go to church to cleanse, to start paying their debts, essentially, or our debts, because they're my ancestors, it's our debts. So I'm going to school during week, weekends I'm at church, my mom's doing her best, giving me money. Like, my mom was so supportive. I don't even want to lie, guys. Like, that's like, whenever I reflect, one day when my mom passes and I am in my own church and I'm a 60-year-old man, I'll always speak about the power of what my mom did for me as a healer. Like, umamam no makuluami, in the physical space, they are my gobelas. I will never have a gobela, mina, because ngizalwa ngabo. That's how deep they carried me in this journey. And just a side note, that's why I find it tricky that at some point I might have to go ngiye ephehlweni to activate certain gifts. I don't know what that looks like yet. But I also know ukuthi my ancestors will never let me go ephehlweni because I need to go emanzini because ngingumakhosi, you know? Anyways, that's just a side netting thought. So I go to church on weekends and this is how it's different. Kwindlela abaprofita is that we don't, as I said, we work with the Holy Spirit. So what happens is by being at church every weekend, umoya wakho uyakhutshulwa, right? And you are being reborn mentally by being read the Holy Spirit, by being read the Bible, helping people, humility, grounding yourself, doing cleansing to open up your chakras. So that's what's happening at St. John's. So I needed to be in that space so that I can clear the debts for my family and also allow my ancestors to connect with me so they can lead me in terms of how I need to grow. And each time I have a dream, I go and I tell Utata and they do what my ancestors say. So that's another thing about St. John's, is that umuntu doesn't see something and then says we're doing it. No, your ancestors must say, like, if it means you must be sick at church for something to happen, then you must be sick, because we don't believe in coercion at St. John's. So for the first 3 months at church, I'm attending school, I'm there on weekends. When you join St. John's, you can't eat pork, you can't drink, you can't go out at night. I was a DJ, so I had to give that up. my life really transformed. I started even losing friends around that time. I lost a close friend of mine also. And our fight was very over something very problematic, where he agreed with Mac G on, you know, asking a musician inappropriate sexual questions. And it was very predatory. And then the argument ended up blowing out at my house, and he ended up swearing at me at my own house. And then I had this spiritual episode, in a trance almost, where my grandfather spirit invoked, and he was like, no one can disrespect you in your own house. Tell him to get out. And literally never saw him since. Lost my other friend who's a designer because he was sexually harassing a girl, and that girl kept telling him to stop. When I asked him to stop, he started acting up, and then we had a physical altercation. So I started losing people, and then Udata at church is like, your umoya wako needs to calm down. Also at church, when I entered St. John's, I initially thought, you know, everything is going to happen quick. Nope, it takes time. Yeah, when my own get St. John's, you must understand, Guti, things are going to take time. You must, because your ancestors are waking up. You're helping them settle debts. As they settle debts, they're working on your journey. But your journey works concurrently with the journey of your family. Your journey is interlinked with other people's journeys. At certain points in time, you have to be here. So that doesn't happen overnight. As much as ancestors are powerful beings, like, timing is everything. And they don't work with time. But whatever they're doing on the other side, it has to work in concurrent with your timing here on earth. You know? And also your timing helps with age, your maturity, all these things. So the first couple of months at church are painful because you're repeating the same thing. You're repeating the same thing. But, and I don't mean painful in a bad way. I mean just hard getting up in the mornings. You're tired. School has its own stress. But my spirit, Shem, was alive. Then Utata said, and then I started having dreams about, you know, a ritual in the Eastern Cape. My mom had the dream. My dad started. So here's another thing: when you're truly gifted, people in my family started dreaming now. After I'd entered church and doing all these things, they started dreaming prophetic dreams about me. So then my mom then spoke to the family to say, ukuthi lo mntana une gift. And Utata communicated that I must do what is called isahlulo. Isahlulo basically is like imvuma kufa, but done in a church manner. I was saying, people in my family, you know, started having prophetic dreams about, you know, my journey. And then that led to then my family agreeing that it was time for me to accept my gift in collaboration with the church. So isahlulo basically is the same as imvumakufa, as I was saying. And now, you know, it's done in the Eastern Cape, but it's different because all of us, when you're accepting ubizo lakho, you have to sacrifice a goat. That is your price. The goat is your spirit. You transform your spirit through the goat. So now go to esontweni, you know, and not to say iphuza, say iphalaza, but we have our own version of that. You understand? Eyethu indlela yokuphuza ukuyiphalaza, yabo? But it's just done very differently. And yeah, and ours is more sacred actually, because there's not a lot of people. There's only a select few people that wake up very early with you in the morning and go to the places you need to go and then slaughter. And the goat never sees light of day. Like, no one eats it, like, except for a few select people who are selected to eat it. Everybody else is outside the kraal, and other things are happening. By the time we were done, no one even knew what we were doing. People didn't even know how deep it was. Because also izinto zethu thina as abantwana ba metsi is that yonke into yimfihlakalo. So everything happens in secret. Not because, like, because you need to be protected. Yeah, but so a lot of my stuff happened very early in the morning. And then by the time people came, people just thought it was a celebration. And because at then we had slaughtered sheep. So I accepted my calling and I was at home. And also, again, such an important, that's also another thing with the gift, is that the growth of your gift also goes with your healing. And obviously I've been healing from trauma, what people did, how I treated myself, all these different things. And through this journey of going to church, I was breaking more and more open. And going home was one of the most healing experiences. Being with my mom, people now talking about my gift and their experience of my gift and growing up. I'm having prophetic dreams. I'm seeing my people. It was probably one of the best days of my whole entire existence and life. And I'll cherish that forever. So then, after then having done the ritual, came back from the Eastern Cape, and then dreams started getting even more hectic. Umoya started even ukuphakama at school, dude. At school, guys. Like, there are kids who started coming to me and saying, "Yo, Sia, we wanna go to church." I started seeing things at school with people. So even some of my best friends now, we met at school, and then I ended up taking them to church. Literally, I started being a magnet for people because now they could see I'm transforming. They started seeing God and my ancestors, and my skin changed. Yo, everything just, you know? So then abantu, my best friends, were like, "We're coming to church." Everybody, dude. Like, that's what's crazy is that even now at church, like, in the profita is that we have levels, right? Umzalwane, umvangeli, umfundisi. So mnandi umzalwane. So because I'm still young in the journey, as much as I can see my prophetic gifts are growing, I am not yet practicing those things like at church. Like, I am practicing praying over people and washing people, but angangeni ukuhlahluba nokuba ngumthandazeli ngibenethu. So because we work with the Holy Spirit is bound by certain laws of nature. So like, I can only do certain things when I'm married, because if I do them before I'm married, it could affect my partner. It could repel her rather than bring her close. The whole idea is that I can't vibrate on such a high level that I become detached from her. She needs to also grow and mature as I grow and mature. Might not be on the exact same level, but it has to be at a level which we can meet each other halfway and not break that bond. So I'm in a really great space now where I'm just helping people the best way I can. I can clashuba people without realizing I'm clashubering. And at church, they encourage that. You know, I've been focusing on obviously doing this content, you know, doing stuff on TikTok, really, really exposing the church and what we do and making sure people get help. And so, yeah, so that's what I've been doing. And then end of last year, I graduated spiritually, which allowed me to then get ropes on my on my wrists, as well as my legs and my waist, you know. I'll have other ropes which are more hectic. And Utata is guiding me every step of the way. And what's crazy about, so a lot of people will ask you or ask me, like, let's talk about ukuprofeta, you know. Ukuba ngumprofeti nokuprofeta are two different things. Isangoma siyakwazi ukuprofeta, but isangoma ingumprofeti. Umprofeti is more than being able to tell the future or be a fortune teller. It's more than that. It's a way of living. It's a way of life. Ikusebenza ngamanzi, neziwashu and prayer. Bangumthandazeli. You're at church. You know, that's your main stronghold. Umthandazeli akakwazi ukuba ngumprofeti because they not live that lifestyle. And I think sometimes, you know, people will think we are insulting them when we say just because you are a prophet doesn't mean you're a prophet. Like, just also because you're doesn't make me a sangoma. Because ukusangoma, you have to phuza iphalaze, ube sephehlweni, uhambe izintaba, uhambe izingethe, all those things to raise that power. Ukuba ngumprofeti, you have to be baptized, uhambe landlela yamanzi 100%, ube nebhanti, you know, usecaweni, usesontweni, uyabhafa, your main, you awusebenzisi mayeza, awuhambi zintlombe, like, you know, usebenza ngeHoly Spirit, you know, you go to church, uphila ngevangeli, you know. And also, just because ndingumporofita doesn't mean anginawo amadlozi. Nginawo amadlozi. It's just that isithunywa sam siphakeme on another level and si-strong on another level, because isithunywa sam siyahamba nesidalwa sasekhaya esisemanzini, basically. So si-strong kakhulu more than amadlozi, and sifika quicker more than amadlozi. Where in sangomas we find that for them it's different. Lidlozi elikhawuleze lifike kubona. So that's also a differentiation I want to make, is that umuntu uyakwazi ukuporofita but doesn't make them umporofita. Umporofita is very different. It's a culture, it's a lifestyle, it's a commitment, and it's a journey that takes time. Indlela yesilayelo. Awuseli ma ungumporofita, awutyi iphoko ma ungumporofita, you fast ma ungumporofita, uyaza ecaweni uthatha amabhafu ma ungumporofita, unceda abantu esontweni ma ungumporofita, awutshaji bantu wena ma ungumporofita, whereas izangoma ziyatshaja for consultations, yabo. And as umporofita wena, you specialize in cleansing people's spirits so that they can connect to their highest truth. That's what we do as abaporofita, and God is the way to that, to put people at the mentality of God. And that's why we have to read the Bible, we have to pray, because that's what drives your transformation, that's what drives your mind, that's what activates it. Yeah, understand? So that's the journey yokuba ngumprofita. And even for me, like, I'm still young on the journey. Every day I'm asking God to keep me on this journey. Every day ngiyazinikezela. Constantly, and sometimes it is frustrating because umuntu yaphehlweni 6 months they're done, you know what I mean? And they know everything. And when I was a profita, indlela yakho ihamba nokukhula kwakho. Whereas sometimes ebungomeni umuntu yakwazi ukuba sizangoma, but you find is that the exit still haven't matured enough, yabo. So indlela buprofita is about taking the time so that things are done properly and you don't go backwards. And it's different from ephehlweni, because we don't believe esontweni that people should know your secrets and know what amadlozi akho want from you or whatever. So at church they always speak about abantu bafuna ukuvala. So kumele wena uhlezi nje ujonge indlela yakho nokuphila kwakho, uthethe nabantu bakini, uthandaze uNkulunkulu, and allow uNkulunkulu to show you the way. So, and now I find from my experience that at our church we receive a lot of people who or sangomas or whatever, and they need us to cleanse them because we're prophets. And you find, man, the things that people do to izingane zabantu ephehlweni, you know. I'm not saying wonke umuntu izangoma is bad. I don't say that. Oh, I love izangoma. I know izangoma. But I'm just saying that the journey of ubusangoma has become extremely dangerous and extremely untrustworthy, because there's so many people using those gifts to try and get money and use meditations and ukthwala and all those things. So when among umuntu ongaboniswanga ukuthi mayothwasa buvesku hambe nje uyothwasa, you could lose your whole entire life, you know. They can block your chakras. That's basically abantu mamekuthakatha, they're blocking your chakras using medicines. And to unblock those chakras, it's not just meditation now. Like, you need slaughter. You need, you know. And that's what people sometimes do. And that's why, for me, the journey of ubang umprofeti is very nice. There's a lot more order. There's accountability. There's responsibility. There's mentorship. And there's safety, you know. I found, and for me, I've never really felt safe around people, because I feel like people have always seen my gift and used it. But not because I didn't recognize it, I thought, ah, I can't be that special. But this place has really, really made me feel complete and feel whole. And what's also crazy about the abaprofita is that, you know, like how sangomas get a lot of respect because banentsimbi, banamafele, you know, maungumprofita uyafihlwa. So a lot of the time, like, when you enter family gatherings or things, like, people can't see, because, I mean, when you dress, they can't see you have robes. They can't see. You don't wear traditional attire necessarily. You wear traditional attire when you have to, but, like, you don't go to intlombe. You are not a sangoma. You don't do those practices. You don't live like that. You don't do snave. Like, I do a bit of tobacco because nginawo amadlozi that need that, you know. But even at church, bayasithandazisa. And I also find that the fact that I have tattoos and I'm pansexual and all these experiences, I'm actually going to be transforming the church in such big ways, because Look at the world right now. How many people are suffering? How many people are getting into dark magic for success? How many generational curses? I look at the state of our country, the state of our community. And because I've been a part of that world in the fashion industry, I've been famous, I've lived that, I've traveled the world, I have tattoos, I have experiences with both men and women. That helps because the type of people I have to heal are millennials and Gen Zs who don't understand God, who don't understand the way of God. And because I know in the space that they exist in, I need to help them cleanse. I need to help them get to the other side, because we're going to lose so many people to depression and senseless crimes because people don't have the ability to connect to the higher truth. And Indlela Yamanzi connects you to the ultimate truth. To the ultimate truth. And that's what I'm here for. Help people really, really feel that part of themselves. That part of themselves that says, here is my ultimate truth. Thank you so much, guys. I feel like this is not the last time I'm talking about this topic, but if you do have any questions, please engage with me.